Hey, Paige.
Hey, Sam.
Take two. What are we doing?
Fuck, I don't even know at this point. I don't know. Are we recording a podcast?
We tried. I don't know. We'll have to see how it turns out at the end. But I'm pretty sure we're recording a podcast called M Cubed or M3, Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem. Pretty sure.
Damn, our third one should have been motherfucker.
Ah, fuck.
Murder, mystery, motherfucker.
Okay, but see, that works because the case request form that we set up last week, I think it was. Mm-hmm. You can find that on the Linktree website, which is on all of our social media. You can request a case, and one of those options is murder, mystery, mayhem, or other M's, and absolutely put motherfucker in there.
Motherfucker!
But you need to do it in the best dokes manner. Surprise, motherfucker!
Surprise, motherfucker! Sunrise, motherfucker!
It's perfect. Let's do that. Okay. So anyway, this episode's going to be a little bit different, but before we go in, and I'm going to apologize to Paige because we recorded the majority of this before, and I had her microphone muted because who needs to hear that bitch?
So funny.
You love me. Otherwise, you wouldn't put up with my shit. So she's going to have to speak louder, and hopefully we can make it through this episode. But anyway, she wanted to go through a fucking bonkers case of Milk Carton Chronicles, and she got through a pretty good portion of the story before I realized that it wasn't recording properly, so yeah.
She just likes to hear me talk, is what it is.
I do. And now she wants I don't want to share it. Again. I don't want to share it with anybody else.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome. Anything else before we get into the Milk Carton Chronicles?
They missed my awesome joke earlier.
Who? Oh, yeah.
Because I told it before. Muted me.
I did.
So they didn't get to hear it.
Listen, I apologize. I'll make you some macarons.
Okay, that works. Okay. How do you make a napkin dance?
I don't know how.
You put a little boogie in it.
Every time. Doesn't matter how I tell you to. But the little dance that goes along with it is even better.
You got a boogie with it.
Ooh, the fourth M. Macarons. Yeah, so, you good?
I'm good, Sam.
I'm not. I'm not okay. I tried to fix the audio because in each of the episodes, one of us is very quiet. And it's usually me because I don't know how to project. This episode, I don't think I have that problem.
No, you have big, huge sound waves, and I have teeny, tiny, wee sound waves in it.
I'm so sorry. I'll fix it.
Yeah, good thing you're editing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do my best.
The next episode, she just totally cuts me out when it's her.
It's my time, bitches.
All right, so we switched. Oh, look at that.
Why are you so loud over there?
I don't know. Maybe I just need to be on this one.
That makes no sense.
But I also am trying to make my voice sound bigger as well.
Bigger.
Bigger.
I want smaller right there.
And see, if I talk normal like this right here, it goes down again.
Look, you're gone. Mm-hmm.
So I have to talk. I gotta show you all my teeth.
Beautiful. Woo! Okay, so Milk Carton Chronicles. I have a case for you today. I've actually already posted on our Twitter and Instagram. Yes. I'm going to read exactly what's off this page so I get everything correct. I actually got this information off the Charlie Project, and you can actually go there and read and see pictures and donate, because they bring a lot of information. They have a lot of information. They update it, they're just awesome. So, and I think I tagged them in my Twitter post as well. So if you can, donate, if you have the money, if you have the, funds, whatever.
Or just spread awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Share. Okay, so this case is about Kara Denora Rigdon. Beautiful name, by the way. I love Denora. That's awesome.
That is a really good name.
Mm-hmm. She has been missing since July 17th, 2010. She is missing from Gravel Switch, Kentucky. She is female. She is white. She was born February 21st, 1984. She went missing when she was 26. That would make her 38 now.
Yeah, we did the math earlier.
Yeah. She is between 5'4 and 5'6. When she went missing, she weighed about 160. She was wearing a white spaghetti strap top with black dots, dark blue jeans, black-heeled sandals, and a silver necklace with a cross pendant. And two gold baby rings.
Did she have children?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. If it says it, it'll say it later.
Okay. I don't know. Baby rings just seems like one of those things that you wouldn't have unless either it's yours or your children's.
Yeah. Makes sense. She had brown hair. So her natural color is brown hair, but it was actually dyed blonde whenever she went missing.
Right.
She has green eyes. She has the following tattoos: stars and the moon on her right side of her neck, a Harley Davidson logo on her left ring finger, and a cross with the phrase West Coast Choppers and the initials ADT on her right ankle. She has a scar on her nose, and her maiden name is actually Tingle. So some accounts refer to her as Kara Tingle Rigdon. So now we're going to get into the details of her disappearance in this crazy fucking story.
It is fucking bonkers.
Yeah. And a lot of people may know this story. I don't know this story. And whenever I look up Milk Carton Chronicles stories, I just kind of Google. Mm-hmm. And just try and, I guess, go to different states and get somebody from different states, different counties, just to try and spread awareness, especially if they haven't been talked about in a while.
Yeah.
To bring it back up so people don't forget about them.
Yes.
Okay, so Kara was last seen on Beach Fork Road in Gravel Switch, Kentucky on July 17th, 2010. She said she was meeting a friend and would be back in a few hours. At 2 a.m. on July 18th, she spoke on the phone with her mother and said she'd be home shortly. She never arrived home and never showed up for work later that morning. She has never been heard from again. The car Kara was driving was a silver 2009 Pontiac G6 with Kentucky license plate number 381LAE. It was found abandoned on Bluegrass Parkway westbound on July 25th. So she went missing the 18th. It was found the 25th. It had 3/4 of a tank of gas and the windows were rolled down. 2 months after Kara's disappearance, police arrested her estranged husband, father-in-law, brother-in-law, and sister-in-law on unrelated charges. Authorities stated the investigation in Kara's case had uncovered evidence leading to these charges. So now we're going to go into what they did and what their charges were.
Okay.
But all this was found out because they were
investigating the disappearance of Kara.
Mm-hmm. And then they just stumbled upon all the shit that they've been doing, which is fucking crazy. But anyways.
Bonkers!
Her father-in-law, William Joseph Joey Rigdon, was charged with attempted murder, first-degree arson, criminal mischief, and possession of destructive devices in connection with a 2004 incident where a trailer caught fire and exploded. Yeah.
Was there somebody in the trailer? I'm assuming that's how the attempted murder part got in there.
There had to have been. Kara's husband, William Robert Bobby Rigdon, was charged with criminal possession of a forged instrument and being a persistent felony offender. If you're wanting to see pictures of Kara's husband, it is on this page. He looks like a douchebag, and she is like freaking gorgeous.
He is not a pleasant person to look at.
No. Mm-mm. And she is so pretty. Like, I don't know what interest. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, if you want to see that, you can come to charlieproject.org and look at, you know, his face.
Not recommended.
No. Anyways, her sister-in-law, Wendy Rigdon, was charged with intimidating a witness, Several days after the three arrests, Bobby's twin brother, William David Billy Rigdon.
Hold on a second. Bobby is the husband?
Yeah, Bobby's the husband.
Billy is the husband's brother.
Twin brother.
Twin brother. The sister-in-law.
Wendy. And the dad is Joey.
So Wendy is married to Billy.
Mm-hmm. Kara's married to Bobby.
Okay, cool. I got it in my head now. That's what was really confusing me earlier.
There's too many Bobbies, Billies, Joeys, whatever. Yeah.
Are attached to them.
Bobby's twin brother, Billy, turned himself into the police to face charges of possessing stolen property. And Wendy, you know, is his wife.
Yeah.
Bobby and his twin brother, Billy, were already facing charges in another case at the time of their September 2010 arrest. In 2005, they allegedly kidnapped a teenage girl whose family lived in the trailer Joey allegedly blew up the following year.
What?
The fuck? The Rigdon family were well known to the police.
This is fucked up on so many levels.
Yeah, no shit. Like, this is just, it blows, and I just came up on this case by, I literally just.
Crazy random happenstance.
Yeah, I don't know, but.
It's my favorite little phrase. I just need you to know this.
So the Rigdon family were well known to the police and had been jailed several times. Following their arrest, police began excavating Joey's property on Sulphur Springs Road. In 2012, Bobby shot and killed Wendell Gleason Piles.
He shot someone and he was out and about.
Mm-hmm. He killed Wendell Gleason Piles at Piles' place of work in Columbia, Kentucky. Which all this shit is not very far from us.
No, it's
which
not.
Which also, I'm like, how do we not know about this?
I don't know.
The prosecution theorized that Bobby, a member of a local motorcycle club, killed Pauls, a former member of the same club, at the behest of the club's president. I think it's David Salyers. And to show his commitment to the club. So they're trying to be like Sons of Anarchy. Bullshit. Witnesses testified that Piles had borrowed money from Salyers and did not repay it. Salyers wanted Piles dead, but couldn't commit the crime himself because he was partially paralyzed from a prior stroke. So he asked Bobby to do it. I'm telling you the story, man.
So the leader of the gang was partially paralyzed because of a stroke, so he got old Bobby to do it for him. It reminds me of Breaking Bad. It reminds me of Breaking Bad, where the one gang had their main guy in a wheelchair for the longest fucking time. Like, he wasn't calling shots after a while, obviously. Yeah. But, like, he couldn't speak or anything, and he would get real pissed off, and he had the fucking bell, and he would just ding, 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 ding. Like, that's what it made me think of. I'm sorry.
It's been a really long time since I've seen that show. I can't remember that for some reason. It's been a real long time since I've seen that, though.
I can't remember his name to save my life, and it's been less than a year since I watched it, so.
But that's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
Because now I can't remember. I'm gonna have to go back and watch the whole damn season now.
Do it.
The whole series.
It's like 10 seasons or some shit. It's fucking forever long.
It takes a really
fucking weird turn. I am so sorry. We got real far off on this.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Sorry. DNA from a cigarette butt found at the crime scene was matched to Bobby.
Crime scene of the house that exploded, or this is when... Oh, no, this is when he killed the Piles. One guy at his work.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I got distracted.
No, you're fine. Salyers was convicted of complicity to murder in 2014 and sentenced to 20 years in prison. In 2015, Bobby was convicted of murder and sentenced to 38 years in prison. Kara and Bobby actually divorced in 2003, then reconciled in December of 2009. They separated in June 2010.
Oh, so she realized that was like a terrible mistake.
Mm-hmm. But that was only a month before her disappearance that they separated.
So I take it they suspect foul play from him because she was leaving or did leave.
Yeah.
And he has a history.
Her case remains unsolved, but foul play is suspected.
What a bunch of tiny little dick men.
So this has last been updated February 23rd, 2019. This case has. Mm-hmm. Well, this Paige has.
Yeah.
Oh, they did have two kids, by the way.
Oh, that, see, it made sense then.
But I haven't seen anywhere showing that the case has been solved. But let me look real quick and make sure.
Oh, this is one that Live Laugh Murder should cover. Because that sounds like a completely made up story. That would be a good one. That would be a good one.
I mean, it does. It sounds like a fucking story.
It does.
So, all the recent cases that I've seen, everything's, like, it dates back to, like, 2020. And I haven't seen anything recent. However, if you can shed any light on this, almost, what?
12-year case?
Yes. You are asked to call the Kentucky State Police at 1-800-222-5555 or 270-384-4796. And if this has been solved, of course, let us know. I'll be looking to see if I can find any updates.
Fucking bonkers.
Like, what in the fuck? I mean...
So he is absolutely suspected of...
Him or his family. Or somebody in the fucking gang, I guess.
Oh, I guess there's that.
Oh, but, man, we might be next.
He doesn't seem like the higher ranking official in the gang if he's sent out to kill somebody, because typically those people who are higher ranking get to sit back and point the finger and be like, haha, go after this one.
How many gangs you been in, Sam? Besides Shit Moms gang.
Listen, Shit Moms unite.
So it's a gang.
Absolutely. No. No, I did a project on it when I was going through psychology in one of my psychology classes.
A mom gang?
No, bitch. No, I did research on gangs in general in either my sociology class or my psychology class. Bitch.
My bad. Okay, so now we're going to switch gears. We have something a little bit funner today. I know that was like kind of, it was a heavy...
Yeah.
Heavy case, but it was just crazy to me.
The information needed to get out there.
Yeah, that was intense, insane. When I read that, I was like, what the fuck? But we got something cool, something fun today. I don't know about cool, but funny.
No, it's a lot different than our normal, very heavy content. A few years ago, my husband had started his podcast, and I was like, you know what would be really cool, Brian? If we started one, and if we just did a bunch of dumb criminal cases, how they got caught in some stupid way or something like that. And he's like, and it never pulled off. But I did do some research on it, because I got really excited about it for a minute. Because apparently that's what I do. When we decided that we were going to start this podcast, I had 9 cases researched within a week.
Of dumb criminals?
No. Me and you starting MQ.
Oh, yeah.
9 cases.
Yeah, you go a little nuts. But I love it, because then I don't have to and I can procrastinate. And I have like maybe 1 case every month. And she has, like, 10 cases every week.
It's
so.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of some of my cases, I am doing research on one that was requested by my sister-in-law. And let's just say I'm not sure how I feel about her at this time.
Yeah, that case is rough.
It is. At the very end, I'll kind of tell you what case I'm researching.
A preview?
A little preview.
A little... Snickety smack.
Oh, yeah.
A little teaser. You gonna tease the guys? Tease the gals? Tease the moms? Show a little ankle?
Yes. That's how you get votes, you know?
Ooh, that's scandalous.
Oh, shit. So, before we start, I got really excited about a podcast that we recently discovered, and it's been... fucking phenomenal.
I recently discovered it, and then I told Sam to listen to it, and Sam wouldn't listen to it, and then finally she gave in and she listened to it, and she was like, damn, Paige, why didn't you tell me about it sooner? It's like, damn, Sam, just fucking do what I say. Paige is always right.
That's only sort of how that went. She did tell me multiple times, hey, you need to listen to them. You need to listen. They're fucking funny. And so I finally listened to them yesterday for the first time ever, and I binged it. So I finished it. It's a newer podcast, but it's so fucking funny, and you should fucking listen to it.
Even their posts on Instagram are funny.
They're hilarious. Mm-hmm.
I like them a lot. The podcast is called Live, Laugh, Murder. That is
Joanna
it.
And Carmen.
Yes.
And they are hilarious.
So anyway, I just got really excited about it, so I needed to share that with all of you that may or may not listen to this bullshit that we got going on.
Another one that I do like that I'm going to shout out to is True Crime Banter.
Ooh, yeah.
Raleigh's like intro is like relaxation. And it's so funny. I just love it.
That's awesome.
It is. But yeah, anyways, shout out. What's up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so we can jump right in. And so the concept is that we have done a little bit of research to find some ridiculous crimes that people were caught for. And the dumb ways that they got caught.
Oh. Was I supposed to do that too?
No.
I just did dumb shit.
No, that's totally fine.
Okay.
Like,
mine are small compared to yours.
I've always got big stories for you.
Giggity.
Giggity. All right. So.
Give me a big one, Sam.
You want a big one or a little one?
I mean, if you gotta ask.
I'm going to give you a teaser first.
Ooh, tease me.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you a smaller one. And it's quite fun.
Giggity.
So, there was this Scottish man whose name was Aaron Morrison. He was arrested after stealing a bottle of vodka from a liquor store. He was caught because he had hit on the clerk before stealing the bottle. And he left his name and number for her.
Oh my god.
Before he left.
Are you serious?
It's true.
What in the hell?
Yeah, so that's a little bit. But then also, I apparently found random stupid laws that go along with the areas that I was looking at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to share one of those with you as well. In an extension of the old Scottish common law, you are legally obligated to allow anyone who knocks on your door to use the restroom.
Fuck you.
It has never been formally authorized or by Parliament, but it is enforceable. So if somebody comes up and knocks on your fucking door, you are legally obligated to let them use the restroom. But it's usually not enforced.
I'd say it's outside. We shit outside, sorry. You are welcome to use the backyard.
You see that hole over there? So there's a little one for you.
That was little.
It was little. It was very little.
All right, I want to give you a headline.
Oh, yeah, do it.
A Hamilton man with a long story of public indecency convictions was arrested again for simulating sex with a pool float.
What kind of pool float?
I'm so glad that you asked, Sam. I'm
glad. That's amazing.
It was a pink pool flotation device.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Edwin, I can't even fucking say the last name.
I don't know. I don't see your screen.
Edwin Taberta? I don't know. 35. Sure. Was arrested. I'm sure he probably doesn't want this advertised anyways, so we'll say Edwin T. 35. Was arrested Wednesday morning after a witness observed him standing naked on Route 4 in Hamilton simulating sex with a pink pool flotation device.
Mm.
According to the police report, the witness said he was in full view of nearby businesses and passing cars.
He wasn't shy.
No.
He wanted to show what he got.
That day he was charged with public indecency. Oh, I said it right that time.
Ooh, what's good up? Job.
And contempt of court. He was previously arrested in June of 2013 after he engaged in sex with a pool float outside of his house in front of several children.
So he just engages in sex with plastic pool floats all the time.
Mm-hmm. In August of 2011, he was also arrested for a similar offense involving having sex with a pink swimming pool raft. So pink's his color, guys.
Pink is apparently his color. What the fuck?
In 2002, he was caught having sex with an inflatable pumpkin that was part of a Halloween display.
So he has a fetish for inflatables. He should just get himself an inflatable girlfriend call it a day and do that inside his house, not in...
I was about to say, again, kinks, cool. Do your thing. Don't do it in public.
Pretty much, yeah.
So here's a theme, okay? I didn't realize that more than one person has ever been arrested for fucking inflatables or pool floats. So here's another one. A Florida man arrested in the theft of stolen pool floats told cops he used the inflatables for sex instead of raping women.
What? Mm-hmm. If that ain't the most Florida man bullshit I've ever heard.
This one's for you, Joanna. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Christopher Monin, whatever. Monin.
It's probably Monin.
35, was charged Thursday with breaking into the backyards of homes with pools in Palm Bay and stealing only flotation devices. Yeah, and defendant stated he sexually gratifies himself with pool floats instead of raping women. Monin was on a bike when cops stopped him at 1:25 a.m.
He was stealing pool floats at that
early at 1 o'clock in the morning. They found him in possession of a garbage bag full of deflated pool floats. Do you want to know how many pool floats?
Yes, please tell me.
Palm Bay has been plagued with the theft of pool floats in more than a dozen reported burglaries in the past 7 months. In some cases, the thief cut a screen door to gain access to the pool area just to get these fucking floats for 7 months.
What kind of fucking float? Like, are they pool noodles or are they like inflatable bullshit like the dollar store? I need to know what kind of fucking floats that these people are going after, and I need to understand why the fuck they're fucking them.
It's a thing. Inflatables is a thing.
Apparently.
The police found 75 pool floats in the vacant house where Monin was staying.
75?
75. One was said to be bacon-shaped.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Bacon
shaped. No. That's it. That's all I got. 75. He's been stealing these fucking things.
So if he was
for 7 months.
If he had fucked those 75 floats rather than raping 75 women, like that's better. That's better. But, like...
Go to the Dollar Tree.
He needs to go to a therapist.
He definitely needs to go to a therapist. But you can go to the fucking Dollar Tree and get pool floats.
Urges that need to be taken care of.
That is true. Like 75. They found 75. Who touched those motherfuckers, too? Because I would not be touching those and putting them into evidence.
I bet they had those, like, extendy arm things. They could just, like... Pick it up and throw it in a bag.
Oh my god. You're gonna die on my next one.
Too. Oh god.
This is the theme. Oh, okay. Just so you know.
Pool float fuckers?
No, that part's over.
Oh, okay. Here's my next one.
Okay.
I take you to South Wales. The man's name was Graham Price. He was the bank manager for Halifax Bank. And at the time of his sentencing, he was 58 years old. In 2001, Price set up a bogus investment scheme to milk £3 million from private investors.
What?
He stole, essentially, £3 million from investors.
Uh-huh.
That was in 2001. By 2004, he stole £7 million from the bank, the bank's safe, leaving an IOU.
No shit.
So, in the 2 years of his investment scheme, he had stolen up to £456,000 from the investors. That next year, it had increased to £9.5 million. But he was taking a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
He spent millions on horse races and gambling and all that shit online. He also paid approximately £1.7 million. Anybody that had a little tip on which horse was going to win? He just gave them fucking money.
What the hell?
Yeah, he's fucking no ass. He transferred 1.5 million pounds into his son's account, 100,000 pounds into his wife's account, paid off his house, his business mortgage, and his son's, and then spent 150,000 pounds on four Mercedes. Four.
Like,
I feel like they should have caught on to that a long time ago, because
what's taking them so long?
I don't know. I guess they're just dumb shits or something. I don't know. So after the IOU was found, mm-hmm. Price's assets were obviously frozen.
Yeah, no shit.
When he was arrested, he told the arresting officer that he could have paid it all back. I could have paid it all back.
Oh, yeah? How?
Probably by betting on horses. Oh, yeah. So, I could have paid it all back if they would just give him another week of betting on horses.
Give him another week to fucking flee the country?
In 2005, he was given a 12-year jail sentence. So, the way he kept the money coming in and floating and all of that stuff, he would pay the returns to the earlier investors by paying them with the money received from the later investors. And then, when the money became scarce, he started taking money from the bank, which is how it got to the 7 million pounds that was missing from the safe.
Are you shitting me?
No. So, the theory as to why he left the note in the safe, legitimately having his signature on it, by the way.
So, he intended to pay the shit back?
Oh, absolutely not. but...
He's just a dumbass.
He is. No, he knew an audit was coming, so he... And he knew that the money would obviously be noticed missing. And so he wanted to not have his staff be blamed for his theft. So he's like, I did it, bitches. Here's my IOU.
Yeah. So at least he didn't let his staff go down for him?
Yeah.
So I guess that's redeemable. Maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, I just thought it was hilarious. Who steals 7 million pounds and then leaves an IOU with their signature on it?
A dumbass.
I guess he had his reasons, but fuck.
I mean, he bought Mercedes.
Yes, four of them. But again, that is one of those things, like, you notice.
Yeah.
You very much notice if somebody is laundering money by watching what they do with their money.
I just got a big inheritance. I just won the lottery.
Yeah, I bet real good on that horse race. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fucking cleaned house. Again, with my stupid laws. According to Section 32 of the Salmon Act of 1986.
What?
Yes. It is illegal to handle a salmon in suspicious circumstances.
What is a suspicious circumstance?
I don't know, but my brain goes to all weird, funky places, and I'd rather like not a pool air float? That.
Yes. Pool float places? That is fucked up, Sam.
I know.
Oh my god.
So poachers, beware.
There's this TikTok. God. Not like that. And he's one of those people that go out, you know, on the boat and get like big ass freaking fishies. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck they're called. They're like out on the ocean forever, and then they come back with a ton of fish and sell it, and crab and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he like lives out on the boat. Well, apparently he, like, caught this big-ass motherfucking fish, right? I mean, it's goddamn huge. It's bigger than him.
Yeah.
Like, legitly. Like, it's fucking huge. He, you know, cuts it, guts it, whatever. And wears the face, wears the head over his head.
No.
I shit you not. It is the funniest shit.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh, but it's so funny.
No, that's so gross.
And he, like, walks around and, like, dances with the head on him. The fish head.
That's gross.
It's funny.
Ew.
Maybe. It may be gross.
But it's also hilarious.
I mean, Monica put a turkey on her head and danced around.
Yeah, so?
Like, so why can't he put a fish on his head and dance around?
Because I'm not saying he can't do it. I mean, shit, if that's what makes him happy, fucking do it. But
I mean, you gotta entertain yourself somehow on a boat.
I guess. That's gross.
I was gonna call him a seaman, but, you know.
You should have.
Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually have the police report on this one.
Oh.
Which is lovely. So it may take me a minute to read all of it.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to read all of it because that's just fucking stupid. So, honestly, every time I found one, it was either Ohio or Florida, if that tells you something.
So is Ohio the Florida of the North?
100%. 100%. How many times do you drive down the road naked?
I cannot recall a time ever driving down the road naked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. You seem very disappointed in this.
I'm just going to shut up now. Anyways.
Hey, Paige.
No, Sam.
No. How many times have you gone driving naked?
Have you never played Peddle?
I mean, but I wasn't driving.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't driving either. We're just going to move on. Okay. So this dude calls into the police department and's like, hey guys, there's this vehicle, which I think it was a Jeep. Yep. A black Jeep Cherokee driving down the road. And he is fully nude, jacking off.
Ooh.
Driving down the interstate.
That They're seems like, dangerous.
I mean, yeah, no shit.
I love your response to me.
Who drives down the road jacking off?
Not I. You're Florida. Suspiciously quiet over there.
Florida, man. No. Listen, I've done some things, but I've never drove down the road jacking off.
No.
Myself. Anyways, let's keep going. We're going to have to delete all that shit.
I caught how you phrased that.
We're going to have to just cut all that. Anyways.
People are going to get to know us so well.
Maybe too well. I keep forgetting your family listens, so this is kind of awkward. Anyways.
Kristen listens. That's it.
Okay, good. Kristen, sorry. Anyways. So, the police find him. They, you know, turn on the sirens, and you can tell that he's trying to put on clothes at this point. Like the police officer says, you can tell.
Yeah, you can hear, see, like, the arms flapping around.
Right. So he's trying to put on clothes, and he finally stops and pulls over, and I think the officer probably gives him time to put on clothes, because who the fuck wants to walk up on a naked person?
No.
Jacking off.
Yeah, no.
So anyways, the officer was like, why are you getting dressed? And he's like, pretty much denying that he was naked because he was, you know, dressed by the time the cops got there. And he stated, and then finally the cop was like, yeah, no, you were driving around naked. We know. Like, we know. Just tell us why. Why were you doing it? Robert Casey said he didn't know. He couldn't explain why he was driving around naked. He just was. Book naked. This is book naked.
Book naked.
This isn't our police report. This is book naked.
Well, you know, it is in the South. No. It is in the South.
Well, yeah, it's in the South. Florida.
Florida.
It says, it appears the white male was beating off as he was driving in traffic. That's funny. Casey was then arrested and transported to jail. During the pat-down, this is the fun part, during the pat-down in the booking area, a small orange play pistol was located tied to the inside of Casey's right upper thigh. The booking deputy attempted to remove the toy pistol, which had an orange barrel. The pistol did not move.
What? So it was tied to his thigh?
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to remove it in a
It was later determined that it was tied with a piece of black cloth to the inside of Casey's right thigh, and the orange barrel of the pistol was discovered to be approximately 8 inches long. It appeared that approximately...
It was his fleshlight, wasn't it? It was his fucking fleshlight.
It appeared that approximately half of the 8-inch long, half inch in diameter barrel had been inserted into Casey's anus.
Ew! Ew!
So not only was he driving around town naked, jacking off, he had a pistol in his asshole.
Why? They make butt plugs. Just use that.
It's not as dangerous.
No shit.
I mean, it's a toy gun, but still.
Don't put toy guns up your ass. Like, I don't.
What if it was like, does it say if it's a water gun?
Ew.
It just says a toy pistol. What if it was like a water gun and he was just like squirting it?
Okay, so no joke, I had that moment of, I wonder if it's a toy pistol or if it's a water gun, and he was just jacking off into it.
And then squirt it in his asshole?
No. Just being gross and like.
Ew! And then when the cop pulled him over, I gotcha. That's gross, Sam.
Well,
you're nasty.
Why would you
even think that?
Okay, it was that, or it was a fucking fleshlight tied to his thigh so that he could jack off while he was driving. Like, that is where my head went.
No, it was worse. It was a gun in his asshole.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the person who had to pull that out of his asshole?
But he already had it pulled out of his ass. It was tied to his thigh.
No. She couldn't remove it. Or whoever. It says, the booking deputy attempted to remove the toy, which had an orange barrel. The pistol did not move. Half of that 8-inch long barrel was inserted into his anus, and that's why they couldn't get it out. It was tied and inserted. She couldn't, or whoever couldn't
that
get it out.
That is so gross. That's so gross. Ew.
Aren't you so glad you know that information, though?
Though I made it worse by making it a jizz gun.
Jizz gun. Oh, that is bad. You're nasty.
Oops.
Oops, just made it worse. Oh. So, yeah, that, don't you just love it?
I love you so much.
These Florida people, they're just awesome.
Actually, you know what? My next story has a little bit of
Florida or Ohio.
No, actually Montana.
Ooh, I love Montana. I want to move to Montana.
Yeah, it's Montana, but also has some jacking off to it, too.
Don't you just love my theme?
I do. It's very,
educational?
Very educational. I did not realize that people specifically stole inflatable things and then fucked them. And 75 is
75. I cannot get over how many freaking when I saw that. I immediately wanted to go ahead and tell you, but I waited.
Oh, thank you.
I waited because I wanted. Because
that was a good reaction for me.
Yes, 75. I just could not believe that he had. Why did he need more? If he had 75 floats, why did he need more?
Because obviously once he fucked it, it was tainted.
Wow, Sam. Wow.
I'm sorry.
You just turned me into Owen Wilson. Wow. Your turn.
All right, so I'm going to take us back to 2010.
I don't think I've given any dates on these.
I don't know. And honestly, I don't remember doing any of these, so if it sounds like it's a very disjointed story, it's because it's been like 3 years. Anyway, so this 19-year-old boy, I'm going to call him, Stephen Crane, broke into the newsroom at the Revali Republic there in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that if you're going to break in to do something in particular, you would do it sneakily and not touch a whole bunch of shit, right?
I mean, yeah, no prints. Can't leave prints.
Well, this motherfucker decided to log into his MySpace and Facebook pages using his own fucking name. Watched a little bit of porn before he left. He had been out drinking that night. When he decided it was time to go home, he was dropped off at his sister's home, and she wasn't home, so he attempted to break into her apartment through the back window. Apparently that didn't work, so he gave up after a short time. He then began reading a newspaper from the Ravelli Republic newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, I always wondered what it was like in the newspaper office. So he decided to investigate. So he broke in, hung out a little bit, checked around, and then jacked off a little bit, got a his social
media. Jacked off a little bit?
I say a little bit because it didn't specify, okay?
So jacked off a little bit.
He jacked off.
Okay? Did he come?
I don't know. I don't know!
I just wanted to make you feel awkward. Anyways, keep going.
Did that make me feel awkward?
No. No, you didn't seem like you felt awkward.
Okay. So, once inside the building, Crane used two different computers to watch porn and log into his MySpace and Facebook pages. He found a 2 gallon size bag of trail mix and another bag of M&Ms in one of the desks. Threw the bags of trail mix out the window near the exit. And then left a trail of M&Ms to his sister's apartment, which happened to be across the hall.
What the fuck? What, like, what is he? Freaking, what's that, Hansel and Gretel? Breadcrumbs or some shit?
So the M&Ms were found laying on the newspaper he was viewing before he decided to break into the newsroom. Oh, I forgot to mention, before leaving the newsroom, he doused the room with fuel and set it on fire. As he was heading out the door, he took the fire extinguisher and fired it a couple of times again because he wanted to see what it was like.
But why?
I don't know. Just because he was drunk and he said, let's see.
That's fucking weird. Okay.
Yeah, so he was caught because, you know.
I mean, he was caught. No shit, he was caught.
Because he logged into his own social media accounts on the computer. And then left a fucking breadcrumb on the M&Ms.
Oh my god. That's
fucking like, I don't know. But that's my story.
So, what all did he get charged with then?
Breaking
and entering? Like, 4 fucking places?
I have no idea, to be honest. Hold on a second. I don't know. I forgot to include that part on my research here. But yeah, so obviously it probably had to
it's, be. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not that important.
And dumbassery?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think dumbassery is a good one.
So he was drunk when he did he all was of drunk. It. Mm-hmm. But still.
That's no excuse.
No, I mean, I've been super drunk and I've not done that stupid shit.
No.
Done other stupid shit. Not that stupid shit.
So, another random law, because why not?
You are just so educational tonight.
I'm so educational.
That salmon one.
I know. Suspicious circumstances. I'm trying to find a way to look suspicious with a salmon.
Sam. That was awkward. You just made this really uncomfortable for me.
Why?
I don't know.
What went through your head? Because what was going through my head was more like a ventriloquist.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you'd be using your fingers. Anyways, keep going.
Okay, so this random law in Montana. It is illegal to play Falf, which is frisbee golf.
I was about to say,
okay,
what?
Falf.
Falf, okay.
Anywhere that is not deemed a sanctioned Falf course. This punishment could include a $500 fine or 6 months in jail.
What the fuck?
I know.
Like an actual game?
Yeah. Yeah. Can't play it anywhere.
Except for?
Sanctioned golf courses. And that's real fucking hard to say.
It's fucking weird. Where is this at?
Montana. I don't know what specific area, but it was a fun little law to inform you about.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I hope you enjoyed this random-ass episode, because we both needed a break from the intensity of the others.
For sure.
Yeah. So, we'll probably do these every once in a while, just to fuck around a little bit.
Yeah. I want to show you this face real quick.
Oh, okay. Whose face?
A 41-year-old man that was shoplifting, and it turned horribly wrong. I want you to guess what happened to this man.
Was he shocked?
He was not.
Because he looks like he was surprised.
He was definitely surprised.
How much cocaine did he have?
No cocaine.
Oh. Tell me.
He was shoplifting.
Uh-huh.
Cinnamon rolls.
Uh-huh.
A can of cinnamon rolls, to be exact.
Yeah.
Guess where he put that can of cinnamon rolls to get it out of Walmart?
I'm assuming in his ass.
In his ass!
Did it pop?
It fucking popped. Fucking semi could fit in that bitch now. Sideways.
He just fucked up his ass.
He definitely fucked up his ass, yes. It's like a cave. You know when you yell in a cave and it echoes? Oh, that's his asshole now. Hello, hello, hello.
Wow.
Isn't that great? I seen his face and I was like, God, I gotta show Sam this face.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
That is a face.
Pure shock. But he also kind of looks happy.
So. He's like, do I like it? Do I want to do it again?
It probably required surgery.
It says, the Walmart employee was in the bathroom, I guess. And it says, I was in the bathroom when I heard a man in one of the stalls moaning. I had no idea what was happening. But he just reported it and then went back to his station at the deli department. Not knowing.
Oh my God. It just keeps getting better.
Apparently he was suspected of taking stuff. So one of the employees stopped him and was like, or the security, yeah. The security stopped him and was like, hey, I know you're stealing stuff. Like, no. And I guess oh my God. It was two guys and the security stopped them both. And the friend squirted KY jelly in the security's face.
What?
And then he grabbed Mr. Wood, or he grabbed the guy that had the can
yeah,
of...
Yeah, he grabbed Mr. Wood.
He grabbed the guy with the cinnamon rolls, and they both fell, and he fell on top of Mr. Wood. And then
and
he
then
said...
Bust.
And he said, I heard a loud popping noise. Then Mr. Wood screamed loudly, and the fluid started running from his backside. Ooh. It was so disgusting, but at least I caught the suspect. Oh my gosh.
Oh. Oh my.
That was in Las Vegas, by the way. That is so funny.
Wow.
In that face.
That.
I wish y'all could see this face.
We
may have to post that.
He absolutely has to have surgery. That's, oh my God.
Sorry, I overwhelmed you with a lot of butt stuff.
You did overwhelm me with a lot of butt stuff.
I like butt stuff.
Apparently.
Sorry, Kristen.
Wow. Oh, so, I'm researching a case, the one that I mentioned earlier, that was, I know we cover lesser known or at least less talked about cases,
mm-hmm.
but because my sister-in-law is my sister-in-law and I love her so dearly
we're gonna do a case for her.
We are. It may take me a couple of weeks to get it all formed into some sort of narrative, and also to recover from
yeah.
this narrative.
Yeah, it's rough.
But I thought it was fitting to tell you a little bit about it because the ending is especially wonderful, and the dumbassery just overflows, and so it fits in with this episode. The boy.
What, is there butt stuff? There's not butt stuff in this.
I didn't say it was butt stuff.
You said it fits in. Like, fits in.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Anyways.
So I'm not going to give you any names or locations or years because I want it to be a bit of a surprise still. She'll know what I'm talking about, but
surprise,
she won't
know. Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise, motherfucker. Anyway. So this man that I will refer as boy in the majority of my, it just rolls off the tongue. And I'll tell you in a second. Like, I'll tell you my little nickname for him.
Okay, gotcha.
Because, you know, I always have fun ones. Anyway, so this man was arrested for something completely unrelated. And while he was in jail, he confessed his crimes to his cellmate, who turned out to be an undercover officer.
Dumbass.
And the entire conversation was recorded, and I will absolutely have a link to that video. It's about 10 minutes long, and, yeah. So when we cover this case, we'll have that ready for you.
And it has butt sex.
No. No butt stuff. I wouldn't be sharing a link to that. Apparently Paige would.
You said it fits in. I just assumed it was butt stuff.
Okay, he is a notorious murderer.
That was in jail.
That getting confessed.
Butt stuff.
I mean, probably.
You better be.
But anyway, so there's my little preview of my case that I will be doing that will absolutely be a two-parter, at least. Because I may or may not have bought a book just to get more information. Oh, and if you happen to have a name for...
Anal sex.
No, I was waiting.
That's what butt stuff is.
I was waiting for the little piece to go away.
I thought you were wanting a name for butt stuff. That's anal sex.
You are just a one-track mind.
Listen, I don't know what's my problem.
Butt stuff.
What in the butt? What in the butt?
Anyway, so there are a lot of female assholes out there that we would normally call tiny dick men or lowercase demon if we're trying to be slightly less offensive. But I need a name.
For you?
No. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. For the women, serial killers, murderers.
Assholes.
Assholes. Yeah. We need...
I told Paige the other day that I would go for the ovaries, but the government's already doing that, so we should probably stay out of people's uteruses.
But really, they don't need to reproduce anyways.
That's true.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, I guess this is the end of one of the most ridiculous episodes we've done. So if you'd like to contact us for any reason, like suggesting a case, because we will eventually get around to it. Telling us a story from personal experience.
Talk to us, guys. We love it. Like, we freaking love it. When y'all talk to us, it makes our day.
It does.
Legitly. Like, I love it. I love knowing that we have friends that we've never met. Somebody told me that the other day. One of the other podcasts.
I'm pretty sure it was Live, Laugh, Murder.
Probably. Either them or True Crime Banter.
Yeah.
Because I talked to them too.
Yeah.
And I freaking love it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So you can message us on Insta.
Twitter.
Facebook.
Email,
which is m3truecrimepod@gmail.com.
But our Instagram is popping, so you need to come see it.
Yeah. So Paige does up. All sorts of fun stuff on there.
I try. But I also work a full-time job, so.
That is true.
And lately, it's been busy.
He's okay.